Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhiksham Chaturishu Varshne Varneshu Vigharyan Varjayan Charit Sapta Agaran Asankliptang Tushit Labdena Tavata Biksham Chatushu Varshneshu Biksham Chatushu Varneshu Vargyan Varjayam Charit Vigharyan Varjayans Charit Saptagaran Sankliptangs Saptagaran Sankliptangs Tushelabhena Tavata Tushe labdhena tavata Biksham chatushu varneshu Vigharyan varjayanscharit Saptagaran asankliptangs Tushe labdhena tavata Bhiksham chatushu varneshu Vigarhyan varjayamscharit Saptagaran asankliptangs Tushe labdhena tavata
Bhiksham chaturshu varneshu
Bhiksham chaturshu varneshu Vigarhyan Varjayans Charit
Saptagaran Asamkriptang
Saptagaran Asamkriptangs Tushe Labdhena Tavata Bhiksham Charity obtained by begging Bhiksha, Bhiksha. Chaturshu. Among the four. Varneshu. Occupational divisions of society. Vigharhyan. Abominable. Impure. Varjayan. Rejecting. Charit, one should approach. Sapta, seven. Agharan, houses. Asankliptan, without calculation or desire. Tushit. One should be satisfied. Labdhena. With that obtain. Tavata. With just that amount. Rejecting those houses which are polluted and untouchable, one should approach, without previous calculations, seven houses. And be satisfied with that which is obtained there by begging. According to necessity, one may approach each of the four occupational orders of society. Purport. Saintly persons in the renounced order of life may beg from strict followers of Vedic culture to attain foodstuffs and other bodily necessities. According to Vedic injunction, a renounced saint should beg from the Brahmin community. But if there is danger of his starvation, he may beg from Kshatriyas, then Vaishyas, and even Shudras, if they're not sinful, as expressed herein by the word Vigharyan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Asankliptan indicates that one should not approach certain houses calculating, in that place I can get first class food. That house has a big reputation among beggars. End quote. Without discrimination, one should go to seven houses and be satisfied with whatever may be obtained there. One should beg for one's personal maintenance only from the houses where inhabitants, being sincere followers of Varnashram culture, have earned their livelihood by honest means and are free from sinful activities. One may beg alms from such householders. One must not beg alms for one's personal maintenance from those who oppose the Supreme Lord's devotional service. For such service is the whole purpose of Varnashram culture. Those who oppose Vedic culture pass laws to make begging by saintly persons a criminal act. They thus insult and persecute saintly beggars, considering them to be ordinary vagrants. A lazy person begging to avoid work is certainly abominable. But a saintly person dedicated to the service of the Lord and practicing the discipline of begging to develop full dependence upon the Lord's mercy should be given all facility in human society. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains there are three forms of collecting alms. Madhukara is the process of imitating the bee, who collects a tiny amount of nectar from each flower. In this way, the saintly person accepts a very small amount from each person, avoiding social conflict. The process mentioned here is asankalipta, by which one indiscriminately approaches seven houses, being satisfied with whatever may be obtained. Prakpranita is the process by which one establishes regular donors and collects one's maintenance from them. In this regard, Srila Veera Raghavacharya has described the initial stage of sannyas called Kutichaka as follows. A man accepting initial stage of sannyas for his children and other relatives and well-wishers to build him a kuti, or meditation cottage. He gives up worldly affairs and sits within the cottage, trying to remain free from lust, anger, greed, illusion, and so on. According to the prescribed injunctions of regulated life, he accepts tridanda, purifies himself with a water pot, shaves his head, leaving shika, chants Gayatri mantra on sacred thread, and wears saffron garments, bathing regularly, cleansing, performing ashraman, chanting japa, studying the Vedas, remaining celibate, and meditating on the Lord. He receives regular supplies of food from his children, friends, and relatives. Accepting only the bare necessities of life, he remains fixed in his cottage up to the moment of liberation. Bhiksham chatursu varneshu vigarhyan varjayan charit saptagaran asankliptang stushelabdhena tavata. Rejecting those houses which are polluted and untouchable, one should approach without previous calculation 7 houses and be satisfied that which is obtained there by begging. According to necessity, one may approach each of the 4 occupational orders of society. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshurumlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapadakam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamcha Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Chajagatam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamishcha. Hare Krishna. So here we are in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, which discusses the Vanaprastha and Sannyas Ashram. And we find that the sannyasis here can only eat for those who are following Vedic culture. They should go out begging, door to door, 7 houses. So, you know, if they go to around Dallas and, you know, just go to 7 houses indiscriminately and hopefully there is a Brahmin there or a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or hopefully there's even a Shudra there that is following the Varnashram culture, that is not engaged in sinful activities. And if you can't find a Brahmin, a Vaishya, Shudra, a Kshatriya within those 7 houses, then he just does not eat. So what is the takeaway? Because obviously if we were to employ that, everybody would starve unless they very discriminately only went in this neighborhood. the true principle of renunciation was given in our sampradaya by Raghunath Bhat Goswami. He was the emblem of renunciation. Actually, sannyas, we rejected sannyas. Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi just for the sake of preaching, but his followers did not become like the Rupa Goswamis. They were not sannyasis. They're the Babaji, Paramahamsa order. Because, as you see in the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and... My brain is not working. That is... No, the householder, Ramananda Roy, yeah. They ask him, well, keeps on going, go higher, go higher. And he says, Varnashram, you know, it's meant to, and he was not very interested in that. So what is our takeaway? So, regular Varnashram, not so interested. Daivi Varnashram, we have interest, but regular Varnashram, not so interested. So, in Lord Chaitanya's time, and all the way down to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, Vaishnavas didn't take sannyas. It was Bhaktisiddhanta who had a dream of Panchatattva. After he chanted, 160 rounds every day for 10 years, he would... The general public would see the Vaishnavas as, you know, like Bhaktisiddhanta. They would see him in the forest, completely long hair, running to the Ganga and taking a bath and eating a few leaves and running back and sitting there with an umbrella. They say, oh, these are madmen. And the Panchatattva appeared to Bhaktisanatana in a dream and said, you must preach. He said, I will be there. So here we find that the principle of sannyas is to develop dependency upon the Supreme Personality of God. And that's also there for the brahmanas. Like Srila Prabhupada said, a true brahmana won't take employment. What is the modern word for sudra? Employee. Yeah.
Go to the
government. So the true brahmana won't take employment. He gave the example of his godbrother, who was coming from a Vaishya family, the Nabi family. And he said, Nandi family, Nabi family, this family was very wealthy. So anybody who's born in that family, as soon as you're born, 5,000 rupees is deposited in an account. And when you're 18, you cash it out with interest. And he said, this family, their wealth started with one businessman who was approaching his friends. He said, you know, I'm really down and out. I need to start a business. But I got no capital. I need to start something. I need some money to start. And his friend said, you're a Vaishya. You're a businessman. There's money everywhere. There's money in the street. What do you have to ask me for money? If you're a businessman, you can see there's money everywhere. And he saw that, there was a plague going on. There were rats in the street. And the government was giving two annas, just a small amount of money, if you bring a rat into the municipal office. So he brought a rat to the municipal office, and he was given two annas. He went to the marketplace. He bought some kind of rotten betel nut with it, washed it off, resold it. And then his business grew and grew and grew, and then he became actually very wealthy. And so he said, that is a Vaishya. He will refuse employment. He will have faith that the Lord has given me certain talents and abilities. And if I simply apply those, then I will get whatever I deserve. That's why we have the four regulative principles. One of them is no gambling, because that is a faithless activity that is trying to cheat your fate. That I will get income that I don't deserve. You know, it's dishonest, and dishonest in a different sense, but in that sense is that I will try to get money I don't deserve. So the Brahmin has full faith. The Kshatriya has a little less faith. The Vaishya has even less faith. And Prabhupada said, and the Shudra has no faith. He feels, I have to find someone who will take care of me, who will maintain me. So the Brahmin is meant to enact this principle of renunciation, that he has full conviction that if I'd simply apply my abilities and talents according to my varna, my psychophysical nature, that the Lord will provide me what I need. So what is the takeaway? So we have in the six symptoms of surrender. We are accepting things that are favorable for devotional service. We are rejecting. We start with accepting. Like even Srila Prabhupada was nervous about telling the devotees at Second Avenue the four regulative principles, the rejecting part. He wanted to get them to start accepting so they get some taste. But we accept and we reject those things, certain things, because then we can, without that, we make offenses. So Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, he came from a very wealthy household. He had a wife that was beautiful as Goddess Lakshmi. Raghunath Das Goswami. Okay, sorry. He left all that, walked for many days in the forest and met up with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya put him under the charge of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And continuously he was refining his renunciation. Like first his father was sending money, and he was thinking, oh, I can use this money to make festivals and feed devotees. But then you thought, oh, what kind of Paramahamsa activity is this that I have a steady account. Things should be a little more mixed up. Put some more adventure to the situation. Not that I have my steady source. You don't need Krishna. I got my father there. He's supplying everything. So he stopped accepting the money from his father. And then he was eating. He was begging outside of the temple, the Jagannath temple. And he said he felt, oh, I'm not being asankliptan without calculation. He said, I'm thinking, oh, this Brahmin, oh, he'll probably give nicely. This guy, probably not so much. So he said, that's the mentality of the prostitute, is calculating in this way. So then he went to, which was like Jagannath Puri Food for Life, where they start giving out free food at this one place once a day. And after a while, he said, okay, again, I have my own pati, somebody who's taking care of me. I should just not have some absolute steady source. I should just, be more renounced than that. And then he went to where they throw out the food where they throw out the rotten grains, that the cows reject even. And he would wash it off and he'd eat the internal part of the rice. And Lord Chaitanya, he heard of his renunciation and he was like, oh, give me some of this nectar. I heard you got some really nectar prasadam, and sought him out. So our acharyas actually establish how we can apply certain of these principles for the benefit of devotional service, specifically preaching. That by preaching, the person becomes protected in so many different ways. Otherwise, sannyas can be also dangerous. So much respect, so much honor is given for someone who is in the renounced order. For example, brahmacharis traditionally don't wear saffron. They wear white. And they don't distribute books. They just beg. They don't get anything. They don't give out. They just take. Beg, and study. But Bhaktisiddhanta, he was established a brahmacharya ashram. But as a preaching mission, the brahmacharis would wear the same saffron color of the swamis. So everybody sees brahmachari, sannyasi, they say, oh, swami. And they offer their obeisances sometimes fear. They don't want to, if I offend the renunciate, it might offend the Supreme Lord. But it was a way to make it applicable to the general society that the devotees, the Vaishnavas, weren't these crazy madmen, but they're part of the actual core traditional culture, the Varna and Ashram. And so in the same way, he took sannyas in order to be able to effectively preach to the people. And Prabhupada kind of hints to that sometimes devotees get PhDs, just so they can effectively transmit that knowledge into people's hearts. Even though, like for example, Bhaktisiddhanta, he wore shoes sometimes. He wore a suit sometimes. He went in cars sometimes. He told his disciples to do things that sannyasis are not supposed to do, like cross the ocean. So in some way, like in South India, brahmachari wears white, and he gets his Brahmin thread before he gets his Harinam initiation. It's a little different. Actually, you ever see a devotee wearing a white lungi? That's considered brahmachari. That's a brahmachari dress. So our acharyas help us understand how to apply this in such a way for the benefit of our devotional service, of being relying on Krishna, on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also being getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by being part of his preaching mission. I don't have that detail. Sometimes you have the examples of like the Brahmana comes, like Lord Chaitanya's time, they give him bhoga and he cooks for himself. But that duty may be different for sannyasi. I'm not sure. Although, but the householders know they're meant to. And household is the core of all the varnas. It's the most greedy. We're just collecting, and that's why. And householders, we're supposed to say, "Is anybody hungry? Is anybody hungry? Is anybody hungry?" One devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, "What's the intimate association between a husband and wife in the Grihastha ashram? What's the intimate association?" And Prabhupada said, "They go out, open their door, and they say, 'Is anybody hungry?'" And then he asked again, "But what is the intimate association between husband and wife in the Grihastha ashram?" And Prabhupada said, "They both go out, open their door, and they ask, 'Is anybody hungry?'" And then he asked the third time. And Prabhupada gave this, he just said it again, a little louder. But to get rid of try to avoid the greedy tendency, we're meant to, my fridge, my food, just renounce a bit. And then and the other ashrams even further and further. That's going to the motivation. Like, why? What are you trying to get out of this? Nice. Chakrapuri, you have something to share? Like, if you go to South India, you will see brahmacharis going around. But it's not the same. That's traditional varnashram. But we're doing daivi varnashram, where you're actually engaging in the mission of Lord Chaitanya.
What about
vanapras? Same thing. Vanapras.
Prabhupada's books are very profitable business. I used to go out on Sankirtan 77 78. We collected all the money we needed, and then the members came, and now we are supported by members like the Christians, but we should take advantage of that and go out and distribute books.
Absolutely.
And follow up.
Yeah. There's a microphone behind you if anybody wants to share anything.
God, all glories to Sri Guru and
Gauranga. Granth Sri Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Vaishnava Vrinda Ki.